Holy One, we thank you for resurrection victory. We thank you that indeed Christ has risen from the grave. Continue to rise in our hearts and souls and minds as we cry out from the depths of our souls, hallelujah, praise God. Thanking you for the opportunity for us to give our tithes and offerings and to experience another Easter. Speak to us through your divine spoken word. In Christ's name we give you thanks. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me call your attention to the back of your worship bulletin, and our scriptorial passage is taken from the Gospel according to Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Listen to Mark's interpretation as it relates to the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. I want to share with you, as it relates to my title of my sermon this morning, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say the title with me. I believe in Jesus. William Law shares this quote that will now appear on your screen as it relates to what we should have already chosen. "If you have not chosen the kingdom of God first, it will in the end make no difference what you have chosen instead." End of quote. Today we celebrate the risen Christ, and he has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Easter is so exciting, but yet I often drift as it relates to the Christmas experience as well. For when you look at the Christmas tree, there are numerous of gifts under the tree. But on Calvary's cross, there was only one gift. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's good news, ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls. That is great news. We celebrate a risen Savior. Let me also share with you, speaking of Christmas, as it relates to one great Christmas hymn. How many of you are familiar with that hymn by Philip Brooks, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," by a show of hands? You remember singing that during Christmas? Well, Philip Brooks had something to say about Easter as well. Listen to this line in this hymn. He shares, and I quote, "Tomb, thou shalt not hold him long. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right." Philip Brooks had the essence of Christmas. It is, and Easter as well. It is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus. And the world, wants us to demonstrate that. It's more than saying it. It's more than coming to worship. The world wants to see how you and me live dearly for Jesus Christ our Lord. Now keep in mind, just last Thursday in Kenya, 147 students were killed because of their faith, because of their Christian faith and belief. Not only that, in November of last year in Vietnam, at the Holy School, where they were learning about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, students were killed. Oh, bring it closer to home. It was in Memphis, Tennessee, on April 4th, 1968, 47 years ago, a preacher by the name of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed because of his Christian belief and convictions. Oh, just think and fast forward a little bit more and bring a little bit more closer to home even today. Today, AD will be televised from Easter Sunday to Father's Day, a 12-week series, kind of unheard of, as it relates to the book of Acts and how Christians were persecuted because of their belief and their faith in Jesus. So do you really believe in Jesus? Jesus Christ has come to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. Look in your sermon notes. The first question is this question. What does Easter mean to you? What does Easter mean to you? Look at your other neighbor and ask that question. What does Easter mean to you? Yeah, what does Easter mean to you? Easter is more than bunny rabbits and Easter eggs and jelly beans. Easter is also a reminder of the greatest story, the greatest gift given to humanity. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, has given us salvation through Him. The Bible reminds us of what Easter really means, that Jesus Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. In fact, if you look at your Bibles, those of you who have your Bibles, in John, the 11th chapter, Jesus says it this way. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he is dead, yet shall he live again. Easter means that sorrow and joy does exist. On Good Friday, it was sorrow when the believers witnessed our Lord and Savior being crucified. But, oh, friends, that's not the end of the story. The joy indeed comes in the morning. For Jesus Christ rose from the grave. That's good news. It is good news to know that our Savior is not dead. It was the late Henry Nouwen who said these words, hidden in sorrow is joy. Nouwen says, and I quote, we cannot avoid sorrow in our lives. If we do, we won't experience or taste everlasting joy. Nouwen even says that joy and sorrow are the parents of our spiritual growth and maturity. Let me give you an example. In 1996, a young boy was on his way home on Good Friday, and he was killed in an automobile accident. His parents were devastated and grief-stricken, but they decided to celebrate their son's life. And so they decided to have his memorial service. You got it. On Easter. On Easter. Oh, they worked extremely hard with the morticians to get everything together. People came from far and near to celebrate their son's life. The father stood up behind the podium with tears streaming down his cheeks. He thanked all of those who came to share, to give a sense of comfort as it relates to his son's death. But then he shared. He often thought that Easter was all about bunny rabbits, jelly beans, Easter eggs, and all of the pleasantries that he had experienced as a child. But he says, when you have to deal with the death of your loved one face to face and look death in the eyes, Easter has a whole new meaning. He shared with tears coming down his cheeks that he sees Easter through another lens, that Easter is the anchor in the midst of a storm. Easter is joy in the midst of grief. Easter is a rock in a weary land. Easter is the time that I can celebrate that I too will die one day, but I'll see my son and my Savior again. Easter reminds us that weeping may endure for a night, but guess what? Joy cometh in the morning. Thank God for his everlasting joy. I want to call your attention to your sermon notes and ask you to look at the second question. Now, the last question, you'll be able to wrestle with that over lunch. Here's the second question as it relates to our sermon notes. Did you know that Easter is about the possibility of you and me having eternal life? It's a possibility. God doesn't force his will upon us. He wants us to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Easter reminds us of God's gift, but then we have a responsibility as well to live for him, to accept him or to reject him. Look at the text. All four gospel writers record the resurrection experience. All four of them. Doesn't matter what translation you have. But if you look at Matthew, the 16th chapter, and read it in its entirety, you'll notice there that these are not disciples who are running to the tomb. Guess what? They're women. The women had gotten up early that morning and they brought spices or perfume to anoint Jesus' body. But as they were going towards the tomb, they were wondering who's going to roll the stone away. That was the question of the day. Here you have these women going there to anoint Jesus' body with the spices, wondering who will roll the stone away in order for them to go into the tomb. Oh, if you look at the backdrop of this passage and look at Jewish law and Jewish history, the resurrection story is a true live story. No one fabricated the resurrection story. Why? How do I know? Look at history. At this particular time, women would not be able to go into a courtroom as a witness. But yet, if you continue to read this story, the first witnesses of the resurrection story are women. You have Mary there, the other Mary, the mother of James. You have those women there, and they're willing to be witnesses. They're willing to be used by God. A good question this morning, are you willing to be used by God? They go there and they're astonished because the stone has been what? Rolled away. Not that Jesus may get out of the tomb, but that the women may go into the tomb. And while there, the angel is there. And some translations have a gardener. And the angel says, who are you looking for? Are you looking for Jesus the Nazarene? He is not here. He has risen, just like he said. And then the angel wanted them to investigate the scene, see where they laid him. And there his clothes were there, and they were all folded neatly. And these women were told that Jesus Christ was alive. And then look closely in the text. In the text, you'll see that they are told to go in verse 7. They're told to go to Peter and the other disciples and to share the good news. Indeed, it is good news because now they're told that Jesus Christ is alive. They're told to go forth and to be witnesses for him. Oh, if you look at the scene and think for a moment as it relates to the crowd. You remember the crowd? The crowd on Palm Sunday, they held up palm branches and they said, Hosanna in the highest. And they acknowledged him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But you remember the scene of Pilate? Pilate washed his hands. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. All of the other disciples deserted him. Don't you know that even the centurion soldier proclaimed that this is the Son of God? And yes, Joseph of Arimathea, he had given Jesus his tomb. And they laid him in that tomb. But thanks be to God, that's not the end of the story. The women ran to the tomb early Easter Sunday morning. And while at the tomb, they received these words to go. And if you look closely in your Bibles, doesn't matter what translation you have, four times that word go, G-O, is printed. It is an action verb to remind us that we must go tell lost men and women and boys and girls about a risen Savior. How do you know the Savior rose from the grave? Because he has risen in my soul. Hallelujah. He lives. Jesus Christ lives today. He is telling them to go to Galilee. They believe. Do you believe in Jesus? Are you willing to serve Jesus, to give your life for him? Oh, you can continue to say that Jesus indeed is the Son of God. Jesus indeed is the righteous one. Jesus indeed is holy. But do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in him, church. I believe in Jesus Christ, not only as the Son of God, but as my Savior and my Lord. I believe in his ethics. I believe in his morality. I believe in eternal life through him. I believe in Jesus Christ. Let me close by sharing you a story. I know some of you are wondering, what in the world is this birdcage doing in the pool? I want to share this story with you. It's about a boy, and he was walking alone with a bird cage. And in that bird cage, he had sparrows. He had sparrows, and he had already tormented those sparrows. And he was walking alone, and lo and behold, Reggie, the preacher came along. Preacher by the name of Gordon came along, and he asked that boy, "What are you going to do with those birds in the cage?" He said, "Preacher, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do with those birds. I'm going to take those birds home, and I have a cat at home, and I'm going to allow that cat to get in that cage and have a good supper with those sparrows. They're just not even worth anything." And a preacher said, "That's a mean way to treat those sparrows." He said, "Son, how much? How much for those sparrows in the cage?" That little boy said, "Preacher, you don't want to fool with those birds. They're no good. They're ready to go and have a good tasty bite of the teeth of my cats. Don't worry about them." He said, "No, how much are they?" He said, "Well, preacher, give me $2 for each one." And by then the preacher took out his billfold and he gave that boy the money. And that boy gave the preacher the cage. And that preacher saw the boy skipping down the road counting his money. And that preacher decided that he wasn't going to allow those birds to be tormented anymore. He released the door. And he opened the door of that cage. And while opening the door of that cage, guess what happened? Those sparrows started flying. That preacher felt good. And he felt so good that they were now free. What does that say to us on Easter Sunday morning? It reminds me that indeed we were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shores, sinking to rise no more. We were all in a cage and Satan was feeling real good. But Jesus Christ came along and say, "Satan, how much for those who are in the cage? I'll pay the price." And Satan, in my spiritual imagination, Satan said, "They're not even worth it. Don't waste your time on them." But Jesus said, "No, I'll shed my blood and pay the price." Are you in a cage this morning? A cage of depression, a cage of doubt, a cage of debt, a cage of dealing with medical situations, a cage that has trapped you in a relationship that you're trying to get out? Well, just release it all to Jesus. The Bible reminds us that Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. He was willing to sacrifice his life, and I'm so glad that he did. Are you glad Jesus sacrificed his life in order to free us from the cage? He opened the door, and we're able to say in those mortal words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., "Free at last, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, hallelujah. Jesus Christ has freed us. In Jesus' name, amen." I believe in Jesus.